from the DC area, and he's going to be sharing.
What are you sharing again, Rick?
Who's an athlete? I give y'all Rick. Hi, family. I'm Rick. I'm an addict. Oh, boy. Sometimes you got to really deep and lean on that third step, man. Because this is the first time I've ever done this. Because when I first came here, I came here and looked at all you people who were speaking, and I thought y'all was actors, you know what I mean, when I first got here. But I know today, man, thanks for the grace and mercy of my higher power, man, that I'm here. And I have to tell myself that a lot, man, because sometimes I get in the non-grateful posture, you know what I mean? Like, take everything for granted like I've been doing all my life, you know what I mean? And but I'm so grateful to see loving people who's on the same path that I'm on, you know? And y'all help me out a lot, man, because something spiritual happened in this place every time I come here, man. And I love y'all, man, you know, for a person who grew up all his life and who didn't know what love meant, man. Y'all been teaching me how to love, man, and care for one another, man. Because, man, how I was brought up, man, I'm my only child, man. And I felt abandoned all my life because I didn't live with neither parent. And I learned how to stuff that feeling all my life, man. And my mother had passed about 6 years ago, and I had no feelings. You know, I had the feelings that I supposed to have because she's my mother, but deep down inside, I didn't have any feelings. And I didn't get no feelings until I started doing this work, man. And I could no longer stuff it with drugs, man. And I could no longer run away from what I was feeling, man. You know, and that second step left that void in my life, man. I had nothing else to do but to lean on this power, and didn't even know that I was doing that. It was you people in these rooms, man, that helped me get through that, man. Because I came in these rooms, man, and didn't want to do anything. I walked through that door like I had everything, I knew what the hell I was doing, you know, when I came in here, man. And y'all looked at me like, get yourself a seat, man. It's going to be all right. And I say that, man, because I'm an addict. Who's an addict, man? It took me 30-some years to figure that shit out, man. You know what I mean? 30-some, I was smoking when Richard Pryor got burnt, man. You know what I mean? And that's a long time. And my clean date is March 13, 2007, man. And that seemed like a long time, and this seemed like quality time, man. Because, man, man, smoking, used. I remember when my first get high, man, and they laughed at me because I went to sleep. And how I was brought up is that you always handle your business. So I took that feeling with me through my rest of my life, man. I had to handle everything. So that's what took me so long to get here, man. See, I went right past all the desperations, man. You know, if I wouldn't have came here, I would have been straight to death, man. Because I always got unable to keep on using. I'll lose a job, man, and get another job. I'll be with a woman, and she hold me up till I got another job, man. And I lose that job I used to have for 9 years, and they start shrinking to 4 years and 3 years, you know what I mean? So it was, but I never knew nothing about NA. I never knew nothing about asking for help. Because this is how I'm brought up. You don't ask for help, you handle your business. So when I didn't get that peripheral guidance when I grew up, man, I went to my mentors, man. I came in here with a silver spoon in my nose, not in my mouth, in my nose, you know what I mean? Because I've hung around hustlers all my life, man, and they taught me how to do this stuff, man. You don't talk about how you feel. Some guy, I heard guys talking about you share everything out in the street. No, I didn't share all my intimate shit out in the street, man, how I felt, man. My mother not never there, my father not there, man. I didn't share that with nobody, man. You know what I'm saying? So what happened is I kept pushing it down, man. And, man, you know, I'm so grateful because I came here because of a job issue. I came here to save my job, you know what I mean? And neither did I know. My sponsor always told me, when you get better, everybody gets better, you know? And the process, man, I came here to save my job. I found a little mustard seed of faith. First time in my life I asked for help outside of the people that I knew, you know? Because I was trying to save my job, because I saw myself over at Safeway taking you home, because I come from the era of the on-the-job training, and, you know, and it wasn't no more on-the-job training. And I make the kind of money like I'm a college graduate, so what? I'll be a Safeway taking you home or helping somebody take you home, man. And I saw that, and it got my attention, man. My wife asked me to leave, man, and that didn't get my attention, you know what I mean? But I said, fuck it, I'm gone. Like I always do, always run. Always run, I don't got time to hear that, you know what I mean? But in all actuality, she should have been putting my ass out, you know what I mean? I wasn't paying shit, I was working, she should have been putting me out, man. And I had resentment with her. But since I come in here, man, the best thing that ever happened to me, man. I got the chance to ask for some help, man. You know what that, you know, I thought I was doing some man shit by running and doing this shit. My wife, I thought I was doing that man stuff, man. And church is, man, facing it and going through it anyway, man. I had to learn that here, man. I had to learn that. I got married. A person never been monogamous in his life. You know, I heard this guy William S. say, would you marry you? Hell no, I wouldn't marry me. You know what? I wouldn't marry me. And because I took that same person into the marriage, man. You know, I put God in his thing. She's just so gullible because she ain't know what the hell I was doing. You know what I mean? And man, I come home. Guilt and shame on me. Come home from being all night, spending all the goddamn money. My son in the window talking about daddy's home. Like I come from Vietnam from goddamn world. You know what I mean? You know, daddy's home. My daughter asking my wife, have a daddy been over on a sleepover? You know what I mean? What the, you know what I mean? But the insane part of it is, man, it didn't matter. The disease let me go through that process, man. Go through that. And then let's get back up. You know, let's do this shit all over again. See, I was the kind of addict, I wanted to make smoking crack a socialized drug. You know what I mean? Sit down, let's talk about it. You know what I mean? We hit that shit, let's talk about it. You know, how is everything going? You know what I mean? Because I smoke, I freebase when I stop. Then it moved to crack. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was no different until my attitude started changing. You know what I mean? My attitude started changing. So, me being this intelligent addict, I don't want to have no heart attack, but nothing said stop using. So take an aspirin before you use. Nothing told you that. I don't want to geek, so drink some liquor so you won't geek, man. Hennessy at the end of the night with the vertical. You know what I mean? I mean, this is some insane thinking, man. Nothing ever said maybe you got a problem. Just maybe you have a problem. You know what I mean? Nothing did that. I'm not going to buy it. 20 dimes today. I'm going to buy me an eighth. You know what I mean? Eighth man out there, so you buy 20 dimes. You know what I mean? I mean, the same old vicious routine over and over and over again, man. And we'll just... You should, like the gentleman told me on tape, he said, you don't think you tired it. Why do you work all 2 weeks and spend all your money that same day? Why do you work all year and spend your whole income tax that whole year? All year, man? That is crazy. Normal people don't do that shit, you know what I mean? But I thought I was normal. You know, I'm gonna do it like this time. I'm gonna revolutionize smoking crack. You know what I mean? Because if you people don't know, I had a lot to do with no antennas in the new car. I had a lot to do with that. I had a lot to do with that. I had a lot to do with you can't put that check in there and get the money back out no more. I had a lot to do with that shit, you know. I had a lot to do with drugs, streaming. I had a lot to do with that, man. I mean, continual insanity. And my wife said, why don't you go get you some help? Help? Yeah, I'm going to get help from him. I'm asking the same person, me, to help me. know, I see it now. And I went to church and all that stuff and did good. And then my wife looked at me like I'm in jail in the house. Well, get on out of here. Church didn't come with the 12-step program. Church didn't come with meetings. Didn't come with that for me, man. Oh, have mercy, man. This is just a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. Because, man, I remember when, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I was talking about this piece about monogamy, man. And I was separated from my wife, man. And God is something else, man. I was separated and became monogamous with my wife, man. That is some crazy shit, man. That's when you're supposed to be going out having a whole good time, man. You know, you're supposed to have fun when you're separated, you know what I mean? But God showed me, man, what the hell are you doing? You know, what do you want? You know what I mean? What do you do, man? What do you want? You know what I mean? Sponsors would tell me, I was manipulating, didn't know what manipulation was. It was just a part of me, you know what I mean? Like I'm manipulating women because I got some white stuff. You know what I mean? Just because I give you your own package, I'm better than the guy who give you a crumb. You know what I mean? Because my thing is clean and his is dirty, doesn't make me no better. It's the same manipulation piece, man. Same thing there, man. And you talking to a person. This woman married me and took me to Hawaii and married me. And I had no care about her. Let me tell you, this disease is self-centered. It's self-centered to the core, man. You know what I mean? Self-centered to the core that I could not see who she was and want to be the man who she saw. You know what I mean? Want to be the man who she saw, man. So, man, you know, I came in here and I did some work, man, and I found out who the hell I was, man. Because, you know, I'll burn your ass up with that flame. So I blamed everybody when I came in here, you know. I ain't did shit. I ain't never look at me. Everybody did something, man. I burned my mother up so much, man. You know what I mean? Everything that I did, where I came from, I blamed it on her, man. Because I went around and seen, you know, it was like normal. You see a mother, you may not see the father. You know what I mean? You know. And then I go around, you see the father, you may not see the mother. There was nobody with me, man. And that shit hurt, man. And that shit hurt me, man. You know? And I couldn't understand it because I go around and I see other people with their parents in the house, man. And that shit hurt, man. You know what I mean? That shit hurt. But I understand, you know, the day, man. That's why she was on my A-step list. I wasn't the best motherfucking son neither. You know what I mean? I had to look at my stuff, you know what I mean? Things that I did because I had school, the government, everybody. You shouldn't have let me play football and then don't go to class. You know what I mean? You should have stopped me from playing. You know, I blame everybody, man. And it was just so amazing when you sit down and get honest with yourself, man. And you do some work on yourself and you see. And sponsorship, good God Almighty, man. You know what I mean? Because I came here, man. I had three other active addicts riding. I had planned for them to ride with me. Because I'm scared to go over the damn bridge. You know what I mean? I'm in Kings of Men on a Rebel Yell with a boat in my hand. My hand all the way up there. In the air and shit. Where did that come from? You know what I mean? I'm scared to drive over the bridge. Never been over the bridge. So when I'm scared of something, I don't even know about it. You know? And I ain't know then. But I know now. God took all the people... Because they told me, you just go to your little meeting and we meet up afterwards. You go to your little meeting. Every one of them called and said they couldn't go. Every one of them, man, I'm riding over that motherfucker, really. Lord, they flying past me. And then God put somebody behind me doing the same damn thing I was doing. You know what I mean? Same thing I was doing, man. And I got over here, man. And I came up here by myself, and I got over here, man. And I sit in here. I think I spent about 3 hours in my hotel room. 3 hours. I was in every meeting, man. I had my own list filled out. You know what I mean? Filled it out. My pre-sponsor told me, we going to hell. Then I sit down and went with him. Then some told me, just get out. I got out of that meeting, went to another meeting. It was a long line. And as I was walking past that meeting, man, the guy I saw and wanted me, he said, no, you can take my place. Go on in here. And I went in there, and that's how I met my sponsor, man. And I look at all that stuff, man. There's no coincidence. You know what I mean? Once you start looking, there's no coincidence in that, man. I look at that, I said, good God Almighty. And the funny part about asking me my sponsor, and I would listen to somebody else in the meeting, and they were talking so profound, shit was going all over my head. I was trying to grab this shit. So I say, I want to be just like that. You know what I mean? Got his number called and he never answered the phone. God running this. You don't need to be with him. I ain't seen him in the meeting since. You know? And I got with the person God wanted me to be with because he gave me simple stuff, man. He was so worried about if I trust him. He gave me his 4-step to read. So that I can eliminate all that bullshit, you know. And I said, God dang it. And he said, not yet. If you don't do this shit, you know what I mean? It wasn't not yet for you. You be right. Oh, man, I have never been so alive in my life, man. You know, I've never been so alive in my life, man. And that monogamous piece, man, that, you know, I think that's me sometimes. You know, God show up with the girl wink at me and shit. Hey! And then someone say, get the fuck off, man. You know, so, and what I understand is, man, and what this program has been showing me, man, you do your part, and God will handle the details, man. And for an addict like me who's been smoking so long, man, been smoking so long, been doing stuff so long, man, boom, I can't even remember. When that shit came, I ain't wasn't thinking about it. Cause I came in here and wanna meet none of y'all. Now, before I know it, y'all the most important people in my life, man. I ain't wanna meet none of y'all, cause I come from that SSS smoking shit. Everybody can't come in. Girls can't go to the boxing, look at the boxing with you. I came with a whole lot of bags. I took on a lot of people's values, man. You know, y'all helped me get the value that what is really has some substance, man. Yeah, I bet. That's every now and then I buy a new car. I like a new car. And I like sometimes how y'all look at me. But that's fine. You know, as long as I keep it with car, can only do but get me where I'm going. Y'all have shown me how accepting some shit. New shoes, can't do nothing but put my foot in and walk. That's all they not made for nothing else but that. Car not made for nothing else but to go places. Nothing else. So stop putting new shit on, Rick. Stop putting it. You can't get that girl because you got that car. You can't do that. And if you can get her, you shouldn't want her after that. You know? You shouldn't want her after that. You know what I mean? So, you know, I've been learning so much stuff in here, man. Because the years don't add up. You know, I've been smoking for 30-something years. You know, I've been clean for 6. Don't add up. I got a lot more work to do in this place, man. I want to look at you and see God in you, man. That's what I want. I want you to look at me and see God in me, man. That's what I want. I want to, you know, and my father had so much resentment for him. Gave him a pass because he was a father. My social thought of what a black father was supposed to be. Well, he always supposed to go anyway. I gave him respect. I gave him a little respect for that. Because he wasn't supposed to be the one moving you into who you are. And what I was finding out is that I had a lot of resentment. I was just pushing it down. You know what I mean? Because I remember that man, Eddie Griffin, say, where my army been? Where my G.I. Joe shit at? Where that at? You know? And then I tell him, don't worry about it, Pop. But he asked me something. It comes back up. You know what I mean? It comes back up. And my sponsor said, man, either you're going to forgive him or you're not going to forgive him. You know what I mean? Get to that part, man. And it's amazing, man, because God set that up. Because I'm coming in here then, he's going to need me later. And he set all that up, man. He's helped his family. You know what I mean? Well, he eight-stepped me, wrote me a letter, and told me, son, I'm sorry for being a deadbeat parent. But that's all I knew. And it was a scribble scrabble, man. That took a lot for him to do that, yeah? A lot for him. And I had to realize, man, all the stuff I did, how can I want forgiveness when I can't forgive. You know what I mean? It don't work like that, man. It won't work like that, man. And I said, Lord have mercy, man. Because once you start looking at how these things start unfolding, man, my sponsor said, well, he's probably up there at the apartment. Said, well, my son coming to get you. Don't even come to get me. Don't even worry about me. My son coming to get me. You know, spread like, you know, what, 5 and 7, man. That's, it's so beautiful, man. I got to tell him, I'm cutting his hair. Pop, don't worry about it. I'm here for you, man. And when you, when I dropped that, man, when I dropped that, man, even with my mother, when I wrote that letter, being that she's passed, wrote that letter and burned it, man, it went, it dropped, man. You know what I mean? Like, and my mother left me her house. You know what I mean? Left me her house, man. She just didn't know how to love me. I had a dominant grandmother say, leave him here. You know what I mean? And sometimes disease will make you think you heard the story. Then I went to her sister, my aunt, and she told me the story about why I was living with my grandmother, man. You know, and it's just amazing how you can, you know, because the disease will let you only see part of the stuff, you know what I mean? It won't let you see the whole thing, you know what I mean? Because I was playing basketball one day, and I was in the program playing basketball, my body was hurt. And I went in the bathtub to soak down in a hot tub of water. And then all of a sudden, you remember that girl you geeked out on in a hotel and you ain't doing right? You can go back and get her now. You know, where did that come from? You know what I mean? Well, I mean, what do you mean? It's in the cloud, like they say, it's in the cloud, and she just come? You know, where did that come from, man? And look, just being. Just being there, listen to other people, learning, getting the tools, doing your work, man. You know, you can look at shit like that. You know what I mean? You got to. I had a choice, man, whether to look at the girl with the wink at me, or go with the girl that I geeked that night and I think I get her now. And then the tools say, "Oh, right, how you think you got her? How you think you got her?" Y'all smoking all night. Where you think you got her? You know, oh, you think she's just going to come to you now? You know, or you think she can smoke by herself and you can just sit there? Nah, man. I don't play them games today to the best of my ability, man. I try not to play them games, man. You know, because when I came here, man, I went to a lot of men's rap. Y'all women look so good. You know, I had to go to a lot of men's rap, man. You know, because I know me. You know what I mean? I had to do that, man. But, man, this program is so awesome, man. And the most profound things I heard is keep coming back. More will be revealed. Give yourself a chance, man. I learned how to give myself a chance, man. Now, they can pee me all day at work just for the day. You know what I mean? Because I'm not doing what I used to do. Because I went through that old behavior. It'd be out in 3 days. Yeah, it'd be out. I got that shit from another addict. You know, it'd be out in 3 days. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. So you smoke Friday. And then you be ready Monday. You know what I mean? And the funny part about it is, we used to go to a place to get our urine taken. The doctor upstairs now. I said, good God Almighty, I'm sick, man. I can't go up there. I'm sick when they tell you. Now I ain't got to do that no more, man. Because of you people, man. Because you people was my God of my understanding when I came here, man. You know, I had a concept God when I came. You know, now I'm developing a relationship with my God because I see His work, man. I see His work, man. And the more I see it, the more I practice it, man, the more it become me. You know, so doing other shit would be uncomfortable for me. Doing God shit, I'm trying to work it so it can be comfortable for me. And the more I do it, the more it becomes better, the more I understand, man. I'm a father today, man. I love my children, man. I'm a hard worker. I'm a hard worker, man. He gave me 5 minutes, son. Let me tell you this, man. What we used to say on the street. And they told me to flip what I did in the street when I come in here. And what we used to say, I don't know if you heard it anywhere you guys live, but the work ain't hard and the boss ain't mean.
Here, my name is Carlton. And I'd like to thank Rick for sharing. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Matthew W. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Faith versus insanity.
My name is Matthew and I'm an addict. I want to always thank God for this program and y'all people, because a lot of us, millions of us, would not be here if it wasn't for the people that find the time to come outside of themselves to give us a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of hope. So we always need to go back and thank those people who paved the way for us. You know what I'm saying? I've been clean since November the 3rd of 1990. I got clean at the age of 25 and I'm 47 now. You know, when I got clean at the age of, 25, I can almost tell you right then and there when I first came into the fellowship that I did not have any faith that this process, or nor did I have faith in anything or anyone. Because you got to keep in mind that the mentality that I came in here with, and if I had faith in anything or anyone before I came to Knockouts Anonymous, I wouldn't have came to Knockouts Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have stayed there or stayed where I was at. I was in a condition. It's where I came from. When I was young coming up, yes, and there was no one I can honestly could say that I can trust. So I had my back. I didn't have that sort of mentality. There was no one that I could believe in. Matter of fact, I didn't even understand the interpretation of the word faith. So we got to go back there. So as I'm going to come into this program and straight out the gate, all of a sudden have some faith. First of all, I got to digest the concept of what faith is. This means that I have to have some sort of confidence and trust in somebody. But I have to struggle with that for a minute. I used drugs because I was trying to be a part of a certain sort of clique, a certain part of a lifestyle. I used drugs because it was something to do. And I used drugs because it was taking away the discomfort that I didn't know that I had in my spirit. And long as it was taking away the discomfort that I had in my spirit, why would I not want more of it? Now, I didn't know that it was going to send me down the cycle that it sent me down, but it served the purpose. My discomfort, not knowing who my father was. My discomfort, being abused by my grandmother. My discomfort, realizing that my sexual preference was different. Why would I not want something to relieve me of that discomfort? Now, I didn't know that I was going to graduate, get a cap and gown, get a degree, and start smoking crack. But what I found out is you can't be in one drug gang and not get introduced to the other drug gang brothers and sisters and cousins, which is pills, which is crack, which is, you know, I mean, free basin, or whatever the case may be. They like brothers and sisters. You can't do one drug without coming in contact with some other sort of drug. I have faith that the drug that I was doing at the beginning, that the smoking marijuana was going to relieve me. I ain't even get through the insanity part yet. Trust was something I had to look up. Most of it came clear to me is when I got into the fellowship. What's the matter? Everything all right? You want me to back up? You all right? Okay, then. You sure everything all right? You don't want me to back up? It was too loud? Now, you sure? Okay, then. Everything cool? You sure? All right, then. I just want to see how it's going down. Okay, no, I didn't have that. I didn't have that in my spirit. It takes time, it takes practice to even get the faith going on. We ain't even talking about praying. We ain't even talking about getting the sponsor. We ain't even talking about making the 90-90. We ain't even talking about getting a home group. We ain't even talking about getting phone number. All of these things take work. And it's through me staying here for 22 years to realize that I'm still practicing that sort of faith and trying to have confidence and trust in the people that's still here when I got here. Even coming down to the convention, I struggled coming down here because I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come. I need a good convention. My friends, they get on the phone, call some people. I don't have no money. You know what I mean? Where I'm going to stay at? Some people want to leave Friday 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock. Some people want to leave a little later. I want to get there early. I don't have my car. They took my car. I'm trying to digest with the idea of not having a vehicle. They just towed my car around about 3 or 4 weeks ago. My spirit is all messed up. I'm trying to trust and believe and put my faith in someone else and let them guide me and show me. But I'm always wondering how the outcome of something is going to work out. Hoping they don't change their mind. Hoping they don't act funny on me. Hoping they're going to feed me. They know I ain't got no money. I ain't got time. The ego, the pride. Why do I want to come down here? We got you. I hear it. We got you. I hear it. And they say after all the years, call somebody. Call anybody. Trust, believe that it'll be all right. Even with your claim, that still takes work. So 30, 60, 90 days, 1 year, we understand. We understand it take a minute or two. Have the day going tomorrow, have the day going tomorrow. Be a good person today, not a good person tomorrow. Steal today, don't steal tomorrow. Kick today, don't kick tomorrow. We understand. All of that takes work. I didn't learn this stuff in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Stuff started to come more clear to me. Even after being in Ocean City, it still was joining in my spirit because it's such a sort of an image that I created for myself, a lifestyle. I told the people I listen, well, if you get me down there, the least I can do, I can help provide some food. I got an asset card we can eat. I learned I want to give my contribution some kind of way. Even though some say it's not all about that, but still it's just something about an image. And I wouldn't be in this situation had I paid close attention to my track record. Some situation wouldn't happen if I do a daily inventory. And not to have to be on that step to do a daily inventory. Listen to other people while they share their story. Still feel embarrassed and ashamed that I don't have no vehicle. Got to catch the bus. Young folks on the phone or whatever, take me big info. Yo, hey, he can't come on the block no more. Or something else. He can't come on the block. Somebody stole my money. Oh, wait, I'll be there in a minute. I can't take all of that stuff on him. I'll be there in a minute. If y'all don't move back to the back of the bus, we gonna stop. I'm trying to digest all of that. The insanity part of it is that I adapted to a way of life. And when I was using drugs, I had become accustomed to doing something. I wasn't in my right state of mind. I didn't know how I got to doing negative, messed up things. But I became accustomed to doing those things. It became normal for me to lie, cheat, have sex without a condom. go down on somebody without a condom, knowing the disease, robbing, stealing. It became a custom, wearing a mask. All of that became a custom. It was this thing, but it became a way of life. I didn't know nothing else to do. How I got to that point or how I got that disease, I don't know. But I know when I came to this program, y'all told me to work with us if you just take it one day at a time. If you just try not to be so spiritual in 30 days. If you can try not to act like you got all the answers in 1 year. You will make progress in your recovery if you stay here. You will get a deal to be free. What you thought you were good in, we come to find out you will be tested and you'll fall short. Because you got to keep in mind, the insanity part, it became a part of a pattern, a lifestyle, a way of life. And I wanted to be so spiritual in this fellowship and put up such image that I'm so good, I'm doing fine, everything is fine, paying all my bills, Not knowing everything takes time. This is where practice. Now I'm understanding why they say to some of us or whatever take may be, I really need you, Matthew, just to do you. But see, if I do me, I go through a lot of emotions and feelings. But Matthew, I need you to do you, Matthew, because if you try to do you and do somebody else, you're going to cause more chaos and confusion within your life, causing more insanity within your life. You're causing them harm, not realizing causing harm because you came accustomed to causing harm. It's not clear to you that you're causing harm, but I need you to try to do a daily inventory, come outside of the equation and look at some of your patterns, realize how selfish you is, realize how stingy you is, realize that you only want somebody to have sex, realize that you need to learn how to be by yourself. I know it's depression, I know it's frustration, I know you get mad when you see someone else, but you don't know what the somebody else going through. It look good. You're going through change and not being in a relationship. I can imagine what kind of change you're going when you're dealing with another human being. That if I'm going, listen, I want y'all to follow me here. If I'm already in a lot of changes, trying to be all right in my whole spirit, by my whole self, not get frustrated, where I'm going to stay, how much money coming in, do I have enough money to pay bills? I'm talking about myself now, I ain't got no partner now. How I'm going to work this out, what I'm going to buy, is it enough food? All this other stuff that I'm dealing with stuff. Now if I merge someone else in my life, I'm automatically adding extra to my plate. I'm not equipped for all of that. But because of loneliness and me not wanting to have sex by myself and masturbation, getting too depressing, I merge someone into my life. Now I want to be the good spiritual addict. With a program, get married, and have a wonderful life. But I don't know I'm merging in my life. They got to practice and work on some stuff. I didn't know how to trust in myself. I didn't know how to trust in God or another human being. And it really don't make no sense to try to merge somebody in my life. And all of a sudden, I had so much trust in that significant other. Yeah. Knowing that I fell short in the trust area. What makes you think, Matthew, that whoever, the insanity part of it, whoever you bring emerged into your life, that they're not going to fall short, Matthew? It would be insane for you to believe that they are not capable, Matthew. Matthew, if you do your inventory, you realize that you are capable. If you do your inventory, Matthew, you really do your inventory, Matthew, you realize that you are sneaky. And if your partner go to the mall, and you know they're going for 2 hours, all you need is 15 minutes. You can merge somebody else in the house before they get back to the mall. Now, if your partner went to the mall, and you didn't merge nobody else in the house for 15 minutes, you were the best recovering addict you can be. But if by any chance you find out when you went to the mall and your partner merged somebody into the house, All of a sudden, Matthew, you can't seem to recover. How dare you did that? Matthew, there's not an addict that's in this program that's not trying to practice faith and insanity on a daily basis. And on some given days, it's hard for me to tell you where I'm at because of clean time. Now, when I didn't have no time, I couldn't tell you that. But now that I got clean time, it's still such an image. You ain't supposed to know that I'm in this sort of state because I don't want 30 and 60 and 90 days to think that some stuff still can occur. I'm still on suicide watch. You still need to call me. I still need to be monitored on a regular basis. So what? I don't care if the journey continues. I'm getting close, depending on finance, where I'm going to stay at, or what's going on in my life. I'm just as close to suicide than somebody with 30 days. So you stay trust. And you stay confident. And they are first cousin and the overseer. And the overseer is faith. Because of trust and confidence in something or someone, faith is being born. Which means that you have to trust in something or someone. Because obviously you can't do it yourself. It let me know. It did clearly say something or someone. So it let me know that Matthew, you're liable to fall short. So trust in Roger, Gloria, Zakia. Have confidence that they're not going to tell you nothing wrong. 30, 60, 90 days, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Have confidence and trust that we're not going to tell you nothing wrong. Not that we're trying to be in your business. We don't want you to go through what we went through. So if we say that we got 22 years by making meeting regular, you need to trust that we got 22 years by making meeting regular. If we say that we got 22 years, you know what I mean, by getting our sponsors using it, that means that we got 22 years by getting our sponsors using it. You have to trust us. We're not going to take nothing wrong. And hopefully that Matthew, I will be able to build up more confidence in myself and say, I think I can continue on this journey. I don't think, would you keep looking at your watch for it? My time up? I just turned the oven on. I'm making a cake. I got to let the stove preheat first. I'm in a preheating part. I didn't even put the batter in and the milk and stuff in the bowl and whipping it up. They only gave me and my partner 25 minutes. I don't know if I can be able to invade any kind of information. I'm hoping that 25 minutes will be enough time. And if 25 minutes ain't enough time, I hope that you keep coming back and listen to other people to add on what me and my partner were talking about faith and commitment. And I'm an addict that was caught up in the obsession and the compulsion of the use of drugs. But they don't have to be drugs. It could be sneakers. It could be outfits. It could be hairstyles. It can be the World Convention that's coming up in August. It don't have to be this drug. Obsessed. Can't get it together. Already got it in my head. What I'm going to wear at the end of August. Obsessed. Who's an addict? Matthew, me have sleepless night. Who's gonna make this? What hairstyle I'm gonna wear? That's why y'all see these fuck. I'm trying to grow my hair because there's a certain style that I wanna wear. anybody that knew my eldest daughter. But I have to trust that God, you keep me healthy. This, it may be somebody else's story, but God, just keep me healthy and stay until the world get here, please. Now, I don't know how excited you are about your personal recovery. But I don't want to do no insane thing to hinder that process. I don't want to go out writing no check just so I can have a new outfit for the world. I don't want to swipe no more credit card like I did 15 years ago for the sake of an outfit. I don't want to do the insanity forgery no more because of a lifestyle. I'm not trying to scam the system. It would be insane to go back to a way that caused me pain. And yes, Matthew, I know it's hard to move away. But I got to tell somebody a story. Hoping that my good friend, which I know Roger, won't judge me. But because of his clean time and the work he's done, he understands. You're no different. But I have to be able to have that courage. So I come to Ocean City, Maryland, to be able to get a good one. Hoping that the people break me off. Hoping that the people cut through the collar green and get through the neck bone. Hoping that they don't try to save their face and their behind like many others does. We don't have our spirit. It's yawning for information. We ain't got time for that cute tearing. We really ain't got time for it. If anything gonna hinder your process of your tearing, then you need to talk to your sponsor and guy. And if you feel though you can't cut through the collar greens and get to the neck bone, tell your significant other to go to another meeting, because I do not want to be cut short because your spouse is sitting there. Yeah. I need to hear everything. Yeah. I don't need to be all cute because your partner there. I need to know what's going on. How rough it is in that marriage. So maybe I entertain the thought of staying single. I'm not getting broken off regular and I'm going through, but you can't say certain stuff. Stuff that we need to hear. I told y'all it's rough being by myself. So I can imagine y'all with y'all married couple. Y'all can dress it up all y'all want. I don't care what y'all say. Listen. I didn't turn 47 for me not to get no wisdom. Oh, my grandmother and mother and them been together for 50 years. They been together for 50 years. They ain't telling you what grandpa and grandma done. Grandpa and grandma wasn't all good all those years. Anything that I'm doing, someone has done before me. My predecessor behind me had tried it, tested it out, sent it to the lab, send it back to the lab. We didn't just get this way like we the only unique type of character that done something. Others have done it. Others have practiced faith. Others have done the same thing. Others have came in this fellowship and did not miss a beat telling their story. Others have came into the fellowship, took on an image, and stopped telling their story. Others had came in the fellowship and walked with the newcomer from the day they got here up until how many years they got. Others done came to the fellowship, walk with their sponsees, and don't even send themselves to people they don't even know. Others, I just want to keep the dream alive in regard to what birthed this fellowship, and including the unity, the support, the extra miles that the added went when it was convention, when it was meeting, when it had something to do with hotel. I don't care who you're in the room with. We're going to make a room. We're going to pull our folder bed. We're going to roll our blankets. We're going to do whatever we have to do. Yeah. This is what they did before we got here. I read the book. And I had no choice but to trust and have faith that they knew what they were talking about. Some addicts stopped doing that. But they didn't stop doing that for me this weekend. They went back to the root. And these people with time, they went back to the root of what the ad was doing before I got here. Because we never want to get too cocky and be tired out there. If I'm up today, I may be down tomorrow. If you up today, maybe you down tomorrow. But a girlfriend was willing to get a roll out of bed. Another girlfriend said, you can stay with me. Another girlfriend said, I know you ain't got no money. I didn't want to get no registration. I didn't have no money for no registration. I found the bag. I found the bag. I found this. You know what I mean? I felt the thing. I didn't have $30. Everything worked out fine. You thought that I'm going to walk and say, somebody lost their bag. I felt the chain. Somebody gave me a bag. I didn't want the people to stop me and talk about where you're. I felt some kind of way. Because of an image that I'm so accustomed to. So if you drop your stuff, 1,000 people there. Come on, Doc, let's roll. What's the matter? Let's roll. Let's roll. It's taking too long. You know when you steal out of an apartment store, you ain't got time to be waiting on your apartment to come. When you're in an apartment store, you rob and you steal, you see something, come on. You need to follow the signal. Ask questions later. When I run, you run. But we closing all of what I felt. To get there, well, I paid for your registration. You did enough. You provide shelter for me. I don't want you to pay for a registration for me at $30. But I get it. You knew I felt. But I was so caught up, you provided enough. I just can't overextend my, it just bothers me. It's no problem. He's all right then. So I said, okay then. You know one thing I love about this fellas here? That make us so unique. In closing, the hope to give you. They say I wouldn't make it. They say we wouldn't be here today. They say we'll never amount to anything. But I'm glad to say that we on our way. And we growing more and more each day. There was many that started out with us. But now they're gone away. But we still holding on. We still holding on. We still holding on to today. My name is Matt. Thank you, Michelle.
I'd like to thank Matt for leading us in a great meeting. Enjoy the rest of the convention.